Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 245.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 245. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. I really don't have much to say today, so this is going to be the last portion of the planning kind of guide and strategizing podcast series, and then we're moving into some new just amazing material just about jazz piano. So you can go and watch this live stream on YouTube or on the website, but this is going to be the audio pulled from the third and final installment of this series. I'm going to be going over taking action now, taking action throughout the year to get better, be more successful, and make more progress at jazz piano. And again, I'm referring back to the guidebook that I created that can be found at jazzpianoschool.com/2022 guidebook with no spaces. So jazzpianoschool.com/2022 guidebook. Okay. With that being said, let's dive right in. Here we go. All right, how's everyone doing today? Thank you guys all so much for being here. This is the Jazz Piano School live stream part 3, 2022 planning. And welcome, my name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. And a lot of you are probably familiar with me, but thanks for being here. Let me know if you guys can hear me okay, if you can hear the piano okay. Last time we had a little bit of technical difficulties and was not on my part, fortunately, but I did figure out a way to move past that next time if that happens again. So that's fantastic. People are probably busy today with doing a lot of different things, planning for Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, probably doing other things. And holidays are just busy in general. I know I was out the other day just going to get coffee, and it was just madhouse, right? Just everywhere you go, people are buying gifts, you know, trying to tie up loose ends before the holidays and things like that. So I'm going to dive right into this because I know everyone's got things to do. I got things to do. This is going to be on execution. So I'm going to be talking about practicing a lot today and implementing your plan. Thanks, Tricker Knicker. Implementing the plan that we've been talking about. And specifically, what exercises to do and how to work on those, how to physically execute the plan and work on the things that are going to make you better and give you progress in 2022, right? And the major point I want you guys to take away today, there's a couple of them, but the things I want you to take away is that a lot of people have been asking me, and I've been seeing this come up recently actually, is it just never, students will say, and I always felt like this too, it just never feels like I'm going to get to the point where I'm happy, right?
some pop-ups were happening on my computer, but it just never feels like the, you're going to get there, right? You're going to get it under your hands. A lot of people have been saying this. You really just need to take into account that it's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. And I'm going to be talking about principles to help you, move past those things and really get things under your hand, but it does take a long time. You just have to realize it does take a long time. And I want to give you a demonstration right now on practicing. And this is a piece that I have to play, tomorrow actually for Christmas Eve, a Christmas Eve gig. And so, this music was not easy, and there's little classical based things in it. But when I started, I had to start very, very slow. And I always, anything that's new to me, I have to start very, very slow. And there's lots of different segments to this, but some of it goes like this. I'm going to start very slow for you. Now, when I was learning this, and then it goes into other parts. It's funny because playing it slowly is actually, you know, eye-opening for me too, which is going to be my point here. When I started this, it was even slower than this. I mean, I was taking my right hand like this. And I was taking my left hand by itself. I don't even know. I don't have the music in front of me. It's not memorized for me right now. So I'm just playing from memory. So excuse me, but something like this. I can't even play my left hand from memory. But together, it's supposed to be a lot faster too, and there's an ending segment, which is a couple of them. So this is still about 50 beats, I would say 75 beats under tempo. Right? But my point here is anything that you're trying to learn, has to start off slow, and it has to start off with intention of playing the right notes. And that goes for anything in jazz. Like if I'm practicing chords, I have to have the intention of playing correct notes as I move through the keys, and it's a slow process. I worked on this about in 20 minutes every day, and I wouldn't say probably more than, I'm sorry, not 20 minutes every day, 20-minute segments. So I would take, I would practice for 20 minutes, take a break, practice for 20 minutes. I'd probably do this 4 to 5 times a day because you can wear yourself out really, really fast, right? Really, really fast because your body can only handle so much. You're physically trying to teach your hands the muscle memory and things needed, right? Now, after I've been doing this for about a week, it's faster and it's clean. It's still not perfect, but it's pretty good. That's one of the sections, and then it goes into other sections. Right? And so my point is, in the beginning, it seemed like impossible. Even for me, when I was listening to this, listening to the recording and looking at the music, it seems impossible to get this under your fingers. And it probably feels like that for you in jazz too. And I want you to know and understand that it's not easy for any of us. For anybody playing this music in jazz or just music in general, it's not easy for me. Now, I follow certain steps very precisely because I have lots of experience in practicing, like music as well, but it's not really about that. It's about the practicing, right? And I want you guys to realize in the difference between jazz and classical, obviously, is that classical music, you're reading notes and you're not practicing spontaneous improvisation of things, right? So in classical, these are just written notes. I don't have to come up with spontaneous practice. So the big difference between jazz and classical is that you need to actually schedule time into your practice for learning, right? Learning stuff, which is going to be done at an extremely slow tempo, right? Extremely slow, like literally 3-year-old pace. And that's what I took that tune at, those segments. I would take them at that tempo, like 30 beats per minute. Just so slow, you couldn't even imagine. Like this slow, right? and it takes patience and discipline, right? But this, just a little bit of patience and discipline at those tempos will literally go miles for you, miles, right? In making you better, okay? So that's the first part, is that the learning area in your execution plan, you have to work on things extremely slow and practice the exercises so you're learning the knowledge, you're learning the notes, and you actually physically understand them and know them. The second part is, and this is a very, very important part, you have to actually schedule time to work on your spontaneous output of improv, right? Or jazz, because in jazz, it's all spontaneous. We're creating everything on the spot, almost everything, right? Besides the melody of tunes, but we're changing voicings, we're changing chords, right? So let's say your goal, let's go to the handbook here for a second. So this is going to be the guide. And if you guys don't have that, you can go to, I'll put in the link right now, Jazz Piano School. I think this is it, 2022 guidebook. I sent it out yesterday. Everyone should have it though. Or if you didn't get that email, you can go there to get it for free. So based on the goals you've written for Q1, Q2, Q3, right? The exercises, obviously you needed to kind of discern what exercises you're going to need to work on to get your goals, to achieve your goals, right? And obviously you can list more than this. I just put three spots. We put three spots here just to get you going, but you can list more on other sheets of paper. But the exercises need to correspond with your need and want goal, right? Remember your needs and want goal. I'll just go back a little bit here. So a lot of people were talking in the last live stream and they're saying, you know, what their need goal was. Someone was saying they want to play a trio gig. They want more voicings. Victor was saying he wants to play, he wants some more two-handed voicings, if I remember correctly. And so what exercises are going to correspond with that? Well, there's so much education inside of Jazz Piano School, obviously, and you can ask me, but there's lots and lots of courses there and you can follow the exercises. But again, it's not really about education because you can always get the education. If you're a member of Jazz Piano School, you can get so much education inside this, inside of Jazz Piano School. Thanks, Piano Pro. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Thank you so much. And Marla, by the way, I remember the video did get cut off. I did keep recording though, which is what happened. And so we're going to post that. I'm not sure if we did or not yet, but I'll talk to my team and we'll post the end of, the recording. I was almost finished anyway. So, but, with this planner here, right, you're going to have your want goal and your need goal. So you're going to really want to go after your need goal. What do you need? What do you need over here or any other education to get you to your want goal? And then obviously, what exercises, more importantly, what exercises are you going to need to work on to get you to your need goal? Because usually there's very, very, very specific things that are holding students back, right? That are holding students back. And it's just an honesty game. If I go to the piano here and, you know, like I said, some people's goals were to play more solo piano arranged two-hand voicing. So again, if we take Stella, even just that little snippet there, right? What exercises are going to help us get to this level? Right? What exercises are going to help us get to this level? Because, you know, these are things that we all want to do. So some of the exercises, if I go back to the plan, actually, I won't do that, but the two-hand voicing setup, I teach so much solo piano inside of Jazz Piano School and outside, obviously, on the podcast. You're going to need your two-hand voicing setup. So you're going to need to know the setups in your left hand based on your right hand with a melody. That's one of the exercises you would want to put down for your execution, is your two-hand voicing building setups, right? So here, I'm creating 1 and 10. I have the remaining shells in my right hand and then the melody up top. For any tune, you should be able to go through the tune in your two-hand voicing setup and play through the tune, right? Autumn Leaves. here's my two-hand voicing setup. I have 1 and 7 in my left hand. I have 3 here. I have the melody here. And again, the option to double your shells here with your thumb is an option. But you should be able to go through the entire tune with melody in your two-hand voicing setup, meaning root and one shell and one shell in your right hand with the melody on top. Right? See this? That should be a goal, and that's what you would work on. And you wouldn't work on it through tunes necessarily. You're going to work on it through exercises, because it's really the exercises that are going to allow you to open doors, open the freedom, the spontaneity that you're looking for in tunes. So what would we do? We'd go through our 2-5-1s, we'd go through our chords, and this is what you're going to put down in your planner. I will work on my two-hand voicing set building system, you know, whether it's the education from Jazz Piano School inside some of the classes, right, or some education from getting your teacher. And I would even put that more specifically, right? And this is for people who want to get their solo piano improved. I would put down, I will work on all my 1 and 7s, setup number 1 in my left hand with 3 in my right hand. For all my dominants, majors, and minors, and obviously you can put minor 7 flat 5s as well. So here's what some of that practice would look like. I would go through all my minors in all keys first. And again, just like I showed you with the... just like I showed you with that, when you start out with this, it's going to be at a snail's pace, and it may just be your left hand alone. It may just be your left hand alone playing through all your 1 and 7s if you don't know that yet, right? So you would have to go through all your 1 and 7s, and it's at a very slow pace. And unfortunately, I wish this was like a magic process, and it was like fun to learn and like invigorating and engaging. But the things that are gonna make you better, they're not magic, you know. And it's very I hate to say it, it's boring. Like, it's just the process of learning this stuff so that you can actually use it in real life, in playing tune situations. So if you don't know all your 1 and 7s, obviously you need to practice that. And then you're going to add in your thirds. You're going to go through all the exercises, all the different tempos. You're going to go up and down. So let's say you practice that for your dominants, in your majors, in your minors. Now you have that setup down. So all you need to do when playing a tune is you're going to be using those setups. Because you know them now, you can put the melody on top. Whatever it is. Right, there's my setup number 1. I have my melody on top for Autumn Leaves. I have my 1 and 7 and 3. Because I've practiced this already, and I'm very, very comfortable with it, I don't have to worry about executing it in a tune anymore. Because I've worked on it, and I know it. And a lot of students will be like, well, how do you know when you know something? How do you know when you know something? The point at which you're able to execute the method or strategy which I teach you, or what's education, without thinking or without having to hesitate or pull back in any sort of way, if it comes out naturally, then you know it. Then you know it, right? And that's, it does. I mean, it takes a long time, but that's what it takes to get to certain levels in jazz especially, right? Because we need to know things so well that they come out spontaneously without even thinking. And so jazz is like a whole nother ballgame, because we are literally practicing the act of spontaneity, and we need to know them so well that we get into that, right? Now, the same goes for other improvisation tools, right? Or any of the levels you see here, or the rhythm, or the solo piano, or voicings, right? The educational systems for this need to be worked on in a manner where you're practicing the exercises, you're working on them very, very slowly, and you're starting to build your muscle memory for them, right? Whether it's your triads, whether it's your voice leading, whether it's your rootless voicings. Now, after you've worked through exercises, then the tunes are going to be like the tester, right? But there's the 2-5-1s and progressions that are kind of the intermediary levels, meaning like once you learn your rootless voicings, okay, if I learn my rootless voicings, I know that this is my D minor 7 rootless voicing. I know this is my G minor, right? But now I want to start to practice them in 2-5-1s. And the reason for this is because your 2-5-1 exercises are intermediary progressions into tunes. Because guess what? You're going to see those 2-5-1s in tunes. So I'm going to practice my 2-5-1s. You know, teachers don't just tell you to do this because it's, you know, just for the heck of it. The reason for this is because it's a stepping stone to place into tunes. It's literally preparing you to see 2-5-1s in tunes. When you know certain voicings through your 2-5-1s, or just you're comfortable with a certain keys, when you go to play that tune, it's going to come out naturally because you've already worked on it. Right? So it's very comfortable because you've already worked on it. Makes sense, right? So that's going to be for, and again, like I said, there's two areas of practice, just learning something, right? So let's say you're learning your reharms from your improv reharms. So let's say you're working on your sus. So your sus over the five chord, right? So I'm going 2-sus-1 or 2-sus-G-sus. Here's my G-sus. 1. Let's say you're working on that. The first step is just to learn it, right? So in your execution, you want to just learn it, right? And you can break this down into two parts on one lines, meaning number one, I will work on my sus reharm and learn it through the keys. Right, so yeah, it says F sus there, sus 2, sus 4. The second part is to actually use it in a, you're going to need to spontaneously practice the execution of that sus reharm like it is used in jazz, meaning you would go very, very slowly and start to maybe comp or improvise through a 2-5-1 and play that sus chord. So I would comp slowly. This can be done in your right hand or your left hand. It doesn't matter, whatever skill level you're at, right? Maybe put a backing track on and then play the sus chord. Instead of playing your dominant chord, you're going to use that sus chord now to comp. So this is, there's two areas. You've worked on the literal act of education, of learning. Now we're on step two. We need to take those educational components you've just taught yourself, the physical muscle memory, and you need to start to work on. You're still practicing the spontaneity of using that tool in jazz, like over progression. So here we go. There's my sus chord. So I'm practicing the use of my sus chord in a 2-5-1. Maybe if I'm working on my altered chords, right? I would be using the same steps. Sus. Right? Sus. And then the same process would happen if I was improvising. Now, if I'm improvising, I'd be improvising over the sus chord. Same process would happen with my altered. So on and so forth. So this last part was a different type of reharm. This is a flat minor 7 going to D flat 7. That's a different reharm. So maybe that's a reharm that you're working on. This is a relative 2 minor to this tritone. It's a very, very common reharm. It's all taught inside of Jazz Piano School. But again, all the knowledge in the world isn't going to allow you to successfully practice and execute things if you're not following certain executable steps in a way that's patient and disciplined to actually work on these things, right? Because the knowledge itself isn't action. We need to take action and practice in order to get better. And that, obviously, that's the crummy part, because learning kind of makes us feel like we're actually doing something, which is good. Learning is definitely a part of it, right? And once we learn something, now there's obviously there's different parts to learning as well. There's visually learning. There's sitting at the piano and learning and playing. And I don't know if you all remember, but some of you may remember, but remember when you learn something, I've said this before, you want to be able to execute it on the piano without sheet music because you know the concept so well. Meaning if you're learning your altered chords, you should be able to sit at the piano and play your altered chords, let's say one hand altered chords, right, through the keys, or maybe you're playing two hand altered chords. Right? This should be able to happen through the keys easily because you know it. You don't need to read the music at that point because you know the concept, right? The concept is there. And that goes true for anything. Maybe it's bebop approach notes, right? Maybe you're doing... You shouldn't necessarily need to read the exercise for practicing the concept of chord scale above to half step below to all your chord tones through your minor seventh chords, because you want to get to a point where you know the concept so well that you don't need to look at the exercises, because the sheet music's really there just as a guide. But once you understand the exercise, you should be able to sit down at the piano without the music and just start practicing. Now you may get to a key that you don't know, obviously, and you got to take some time to figure it out. But, you know, you still understand the concept. You can figure it out without the music. And I encourage you to not read the notes all the time that I give you in Jazz Piano School or any educational website that you see. Try and learn the concept as best as possible and then practice it, because it'll get you so much better at jazz piano in that particular way. All right. Marla says practice feels like the workout, or eating veggies, it's good for you, but doesn't always. Yeah, exactly. So, again, not very much, not a long lesson today, but really think about, let's go back a little bit here. Let's go back to the beginning of this. And if you guys filled this out, great. If not, so think about your want goals. Think about your need goals for quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. And you can do it by quarter. You don't need to write out the entire year. Just do it per quarter. So January is right around the corner, right? Maybe in between now and January 1st, write out your Q1 goals. Now remember, just as a review, the want goal is what do you want? Like, what? Remember, purpose is going to drive motivation and inspiration for your practice, for, like Marla said, for eating the veggies. You don't, it's not fun to just eat veggies, but like if your goal is to be healthier so that you can play with your kids, or you can have more energy to go hiking and do fun things, maybe go outside, go on walks with your partner, who knows? That purpose is much more of a motivating factor than you just sitting at the table being like, oh, I need to eat these veggies. So when you're practicing, don't think like, oh, I got to practice my bebop approach notes just because for the heck of it, because Brendan says so. No, practice them because in the future you understand and you know the purpose is you want to get better at the bebop language of improv and sound like Bud Powell or sound like whoever, Wynton Kelly, you know? And the more you can keep your purpose in mind, and that's your want goal. Remember, this is going to be your want goal. Like, I want to sound like Bud Powell, or I want to be able to play bebop like, you know, who knows, Red Garland, right? Or Barry Harris, RIP. You know, that's your want goal. And then your need goal is the specifics. How do you get there? How do you sound like Barry Harris? What is that going to take? You know, and if you want to play, and again, all of you had so many different goals in the other planning sessions, which were great. Some people wanted better voicing. Some people wanted solo piano to really sound great. Some people wanted to improve their improv. Some students wanted to play out in a gig, just play one gig with a group in 2022. Those are fantastic. Those are fantastic, fantastic goals, right? But the need goal is going to be how to get you there. So if you're wanting to play out in a group, you would need some voicings. Obviously, you're going to need some rootless voicings, right? And You're going to probably need some improv if you're planning on taking a solo, and you may, and you don't really need much solo piano. If you're like, this is what you would not have to put down. But if your want goal is to play a solo piano gig or just play a tune for your friends, your family, that would be the want goal. I want to play Autumn Leaves, and try and get as specific as you possibly can, because it's going to help you. And remember, write down your why. Write down your purpose and your why, because that's going to fuel you. It's going to fuel the fire into 2022. I want to play Autumn Leaves for my friend or family because I love jazz, and it'll make me happy to provide the gift of music for them. Do you see how adding on that why for your want goal is going to be much more of a motivator than just writing down boring exercises, right? We always have to keep that in mind in life and music and everything. It's the why, it's the purpose, because that's really what we're striving for. We're not striving for these exercises. These are just the roadway. These are the vehicles. All these exercises here are the vehicles, but it's not really what we want. You know, yeah, sure, we'd love to be able to get more rootless voicings, but the ultimate end goal is we want the rootless voicings so we can sound better, so that, right? We want to add these so that sentences into our goals. Our need goal is going to be how we do it, like what do we need to get us there? So if our goal is to play solo piano for our friend, we're going to probably need some layers of solo piano plan. Now, look at the solo piano plan. These are examples, by the way. Obviously, there's a lot more, but this is definitely a great way to get you started, because I took the four biggest categories that you would need to help you with most things. Like, everything in jazz piano really can fall under one of these categories: voicings, improv, rhythm and coordination, and solo piano. Like, literally everything falls underneath this, one of these four categories. If you're looking to comp, that would be under voicings. You're going to need voicings to comp, and you're also going to need rhythm. So you would combine rhythm and voicings for comping. If you want to play solo piano, boom, here it is. If you're looking to get your improv and your solo piano, boom, here it is, here and here, right? So it's definitely a great worksheet to get you started. You can pick and choose. So let's say, again, back to our Autumn Leaves example for a friend. Look at this and see where you're at. Can you play the melody with root position chords in your left hand? Yes, you can. Go to step two. Can you play melody with shells underneath in your right hand, left hand bass notes? Yes, you can. Go to step three. Can you play melody with split shells between right hand and left hand and left hand bass notes? That's more or less what I was demonstrating before. Yes, you can. Go to step four. Do you know your solo piano components? Yes. So on and so forth, right? So these are going to be your need goals. You're going to take one of these and put it under your need goal, right? And then finally, execution, I will work on, right? And this is going to directly correlate with your need goal. If you had your left-hand components down, for example, here, your need goal is going to be, your execution, rather, is going to be, I will work on my left-hand bass notes, or I will work on my 1 and 7, or I will work on my 1 and 3. I will work on my bass note to shells, right? And these are all going to go here based on the various steps, obviously, within the education. If your need goal was voicings, if you took something out of the, if your need goal was rootless voicings or isolated rootless voicings, then your execution is going to be, I will work on my minor seventh rootless voicings isolated, or I will work on my dominant seventh rootless voicings in my left hand and my right hand isolated through the keys. And then obviously I will work on my major seventh. So you break it down into the execution practice exercises of what you're going to focus on here based on your want goal, your need goal. So it all flows into each other. So again, anytime you kind of get discouraged by practicing your execution or your practice, just flip the page. Just go back, look at your want goal, and smile. And just remember, this is why you're practicing. Whatever you wrote down here, this is why you're practicing, and it'll make you smile, and you'll say, yeah, that's right. This is why I'm doing the work. This is why I'm sitting here and practicing, because this is what I want. And trust me, the more you can remember your purpose, your why, and what you're striving for, the easier the exercise is going to be, right? The easier it is, it's going to be to discipline yourself and sit there at a slow pace, at a slow tempo, literally just training your hand. I wish I could tell you it's more. I wish I could. Obviously, when you get to certain levels, it does become more, right? You're able to get more creative with things. Think about anything in life, right? The beginning stages, not even the beginning stages, but like 90% of learning a craft or anything in life is about foundational elements and building a foundation and slowly moving up. It's only until the last little bit of it, and even before that, you'll get twinkles of magic here and there, but you're able to kind of just break away from that stuff and really start to express, like any form of art, right? You can start to break away from all your foundational things and you start to get a little more creative with what you're playing. You can start to express yourself in different ways, you know, that you've been wanting, and you start to feel the chains and the shackles of the exercises fall off, right? Because you've worked on them so much at this point that you actually, you've learned the freedom. And that's why, as you can see, the tagline of Jazz Piano School is learning freedom. You're literally learning freedom because as you start to work on these methods, these various exercises and things like that, and you move through the structured paths that I'm teaching you, you're learning the process of freedom. And you get to a point where you're like, you sit down and you're like, wow, I actually have gotten that much better. I actually do sound so much better. I actually have more freedom in my playing because of all the work I've done previously, right? So it's very important to keep these things in mind going into 2022 and knowing that if you focus and discipline yourself and are patient with a lot of the things that I'm teaching you here and the things that I teach, obviously, in the podcast, obviously, inside of all the education at Jazz Piano School, then I promise you, you will make success and you will have success, excuse me, and you will make progress and you will start to overcome that feeling, like I was saying before, of will I ever get this under my hands? That will start to fade away. It'll literally start to break down and you will start to feel like you do actually have it under your hands because you've done the work. And now you're at a point where you can play the tunes, you've achieved your need goal, you're achieving your want goal, and you do sit down and you play a tune brilliantly for your friend, your family, and you're loving it, right? And you feel accomplished and you feel great about yourself because you've done a little planning, you've done some exercises, and you worked into it. All right? Let me read some of the comments here real quick. Howard says, do you prefer a natural 9 in a minor 7 flat 5 like Mark Levine? I always use a flat 9 in low grand mode for such chords. How do you decide which 9 to use on a half diminished? This is just a preference, Howard. I use both, and each one will give you a different color. Right? Here's my natural 9 over my E minor 7 flat 5 chord in Stella. Here's my natural 9. Here's my flat 9. Each one is a different color. So Howard, my answer to you is I think I prefer the natural 9, although again, don't let that take away from the flat 9. I do use the flat 9 a lot. I love the flat 9 color. I also use lots of different colors. It's really about the sound and color. Like, I'll use flat 9s over minor chords sometimes, like this. And guaranteed, no book is going to teach you that. Okay, Trigger Knicker, thanks so much. That's really great. Yeah, happy holidays to all you guys. Have a safe holiday. Hopefully, everything's going well for you in this busy time, or maybe not so busy time. Maybe you're relaxing, and that's great too. This is what this time of year is about. Here's my flat 9. I love this sound. I use this a lot for colors. This flat 9 here. So again, it's all about the different coloring that you want, Howard. So I use both, and I prefer the natural 9, I would say. I probably use it more, but I do like both. I think there was one other question here. No, I guess not. Okay. Cool. So I didn't have more for you guys, but what I want you to do is use the planning guide, right? Think about what you want. Really take some time. Take 15 minutes. It's even hard for me because sitting down and just taking some space in the busy world that we have today, not on our phones, not on anything else, right? To just think about our goals and write them down, it'll make a world's difference for you, I promise. And I have to discipline myself to do this as well. Otherwise, it just never happens, right? I could be responding to emails, responding to tickets, questions from you guys, obviously, working on the website, updating things, all sorts of stuff, creating, filming videos. Like, there's millions of things I could be doing, but you absolutely need to carve away the time to sit down and write these things down so that you see them in front of your face and on your music stand and your piano or with anything in life. Maybe you want to, it's completely up to you. Obviously, maybe you have other goals in your life too, other ambitions. I know I do. In 2022, I'm going to be working really hard on starting my music business, education business, which is going to be called Creative. It was under my name before, BrendanLowe.com, but it's going to be moving to CreativeFreedomAcademy.com. And it's going to be teaching musicians how to become better business people. And that can look like a number of different things. If you guys have interests in playing gigs or marketing yourself or selling out concerts and marketing yourself in a better way or creating courses in any facet, not jazz piano, but maybe other areas of life. Maybe you want to create your own business. Maybe you want to do what I do on Jazz Piano School, you know, or what other people do as well. I'm sure you see other business people running businesses online. I'm going to be showing and teaching and educating musicians and creatives, not just musicians, but I love all creatives, all artists, performing artists, writers, things like that. People who typically, stereotypically don't have, they make such a huge difference in the world, but unfortunately the way the society works is like they're not getting paid for their value of art, right? Which is a really sad thing. I just love art so much. I love all the arts in life, and I really want to help all artists and creative artists achieve freedom in their life financially and spiritually and all that good stuff by not having to be, you know, a slave to society through the means of income of what, you know, people pay us for gigs or buying our pieces of art or writing, things like that. So anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but I need to sit down and write my goals out for that stuff, because that's really, really important to me, and that's going to help my progress a lot with that. It's the same thing for jazz piano. Have to go and sit down. So a lot of people are going to be rewatching this. So if you haven't done so, if you're not a member, go to jazzpianoschool.com/holiday. We have a big holiday sale. If any of you guys want any individual courses, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/holiday and get discounts on all of our courses right now. This holiday sale is running through January. Up until the 6th, I believe, and then it's going to close down, but all of our courses are available. Obviously, if you're a member already, you're a monthly member, you get access to everything, all the courses too, myself, my staff, so on and so forth. And we have a lot of new updates coming in 2022, which are going to be really, really awesome. So I hope everyone has a very safe holiday. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm probably going to be taking some time between now, obviously, and the new year, and I'll be back with live streams and podcasts and stuff like that. I'll still have a couple audio podcasts, but I'll just be taking some time for myself all the way up to the second week of January, I believe. So it'll be really nice. I'm looking forward to that time. I'm really, really busy around this time up until Christmas. Obviously, you saw the practicing I had to do for that one tune. I have so many gigs, things like that. So yeah, Bruce, no problem. Just write in. No problem. Just send in a ticket. Just shoot it. Send in the question to the support page, and I'll answer you on that. All right. All right. That's it. I hope everyone's doing well. Have a safe holiday, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Thanks so much for being here.